And turn with me, if you will, to the gospel as recorded by Matthew, chapter 6, beginning at verse 19. We are reading today from the New King James Version, and our entire scripture lesson text can be found on the insert in your bulletin and on page 511 of your pew Bible. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Pray with me this morning. As we examine this text with this thought in mind, seeking God's kingdom, seeking God's kingdom. Let us pray. Our Father and our God in heaven, we thank you once again for the privilege and opportunity of standing before these thy people. And Lord, we pray now that the words of my mouth and that the meditation of all our hearts will be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. Let the redeemed of the Lord say, amen. There are so many things in life that we can seek after. Some folks seek after fame, some seek wealth. Others seek power over those around them. And so there's no shortage of things which we might seek after in this world. Some are healthy and others are not so healthy. But nothing tells more about who we really are than an examination of what we spend our lives in pursuit of. Nothing tells more about what our hearts hold dear than looking at what we spend our treasure on. Some credit card companies will send you a year-end report detailing all the categories that you spent your money in over the past year. And they'll break it down about how much you spend on travel, how much you spend in restaurants, how many in hotels, gas stations, and so forth. And that report is a good measure of where your priorities were during that time period as far as your money. When I had my own business, I used to use those reports to track where my business revenue was spent. And I was often surprised how much money I spent in one area over another. I spent a lot of money in restaurants, you know, and that showed up in more places than one. But a lot of folks would be surprised if God allowed them to look back and see the activities that they had pursued during their lives. A lot of folks would be shocked to see how much precious time they had spent pursuing meaningless things in their lives. And we're all guilty of that to some extent. We've all spent time doing things which, when we look back and evaluate the results, we realize that our time was wasted. But our character is defined overall by how we choose to spend our most precious treasure, and that is our time. A lot of people are wasting their lives in foolish pursuits. But Jesus gives us some advice. Jesus advises us that seeking the kingdom of God and the righteousness of God will bring more treasure than anything else that we could pursue. But how do we do that? How do we do that? How do we seek God's kingdom and what are the treasures that it brings? Well, the answer is in the text. So let us turn to the text as Jesus explains the implications of seeking the kingdom of God. Seeking the kingdom means that we must turn from worldliness. Verse 19 says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Don't fasten your heart around the things of this world because they are temporary. They are corruptible and they are movable. Don't pile up a collection of earthly treasures that will not satisfy the needs of your soul while you're down here, and you cannot take it with you when you leave." That's the advice of Jesus Christ. The Lord himself tells all who walk on this earth to don't stir up treasures down here. Don't store up treasures down here. He has a better plan. Listen as the Lord continues in verse 20. He says, "But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. Make your deposits in the heavenly bank account." In the heavenly bank account. You wouldn't take your money to a bank which was housed in a condemned building, would you? And neither should you bank on this world and its treasures, because this world and all that it contains stands condemned before God, and judgment day is coming. So you need to invest your life in heavenly things. Then you'll have real treasure. Then you'll have a sure treasure. Then you'll have a treasure that cannot be bankrupted. Your treasure will be guaranteed by God. Right now, the federal government guarantees all bank deposits up to $100,000, and they may have just risen above that, but after that, you're on your own. But God guarantees everything that you lay in his trust 100%. The Bible says that God will never be indebted to anyone. So you cannot lose out on the treasures that you store up in heaven. Every faithful act, every obedient act stores up treasure for you in heaven. Every time you say yes to God and sacrifice your worldly possessions, your time, and your pleasures in order to do the will of God, God stores up treasures for you in heaven. Listen as the Lord tells us about the treasure in verse 21. He says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Your heart will follow the things that you treasure. If you treasure the things of the kingdom, things like love and faithfulness and mercy and compassion, then your heart will seek after those things. But if you treasure the things of this world, things like wealth and power and fame, then your heart will be fixed on those things and you'll be drawn away from the things of the kingdom. You sure will. If your heart is fixed on the things of the world, you will find out that your life decisions will lead you towards the things of the world, regardless of what you tell yourself in your mind, because your heart is going to lead you there. The Lord continues in verse 22. He says, "The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body is full of light." Now, it looks like Jesus has changed the subject, but he hasn't. He's still talking about the things that you treasure, the things that you hold dear. And he's saying that if your eye or your conscience is good, then your value system will be intact. You will see the world accurately and truthfully. You'll be able to judge correctly between the value of temporary things and eternal things. If your eye is good, you'll be able to see the real value of the things of the kingdom, and you won't be fooled by the things of the world. But Jesus also gives a warning in the next verse. In verse 23, he says, "But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" If your eye is bad, if your value system is distorted by the mindset of this world, then everything that you see will be colored by that outlook. If you look at every situation with the thought of what's in it for me, then all of the world will seem dark to you. If you suspect that everyone has an evil motive, then the world will seem very dark to you. If your philosophy is that every man has his price, then the world will seem very dark to you. You won't be able to see the good and the glorious things in this life. Only evil. Only evil. But Jesus continues in verse 24. He says, "No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Now, mammon just means worldly treasure. The things in this world that you treasure. It could be possessions. It could be power. All of those things that the world can bring to you. And Jesus is saying that you cannot value the things of the kingdom and the things of the world at the same time. You cannot have two value systems. If you set your heart on obtaining the things of this world, then money will be very important to you. That will be automatic. And you won't have to decide that money is important. If your heart is fixed on the things that money can buy, then money will be your God, whether you admit it or not. But if you're able to see this life through a different lens, if you're able to discern spiritual treasures in this life, then you'll be able to serve the Most High God with an undivided heart. As soon as you're able to discern spiritual treasures, God will show you how many you have, and then he'll start multiplying them right before your eyes. Amen. You cannot serve both. Seeking the kingdom means that we must turn away from worldliness. And that's why Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Seeking the kingdom means we must refuse to worry. We must refuse to worry. Look at verse 25 as the Lord continues. He said, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? The Lord reminds us that life consists of more than how well we eat and how well we dress. Food, clothing, shelter are the basic necessities of life, and we all need some measure of those things to survive. But Jesus reminds us that even these necessary things are not the things of which life consists. And Jesus is hinting that man has more basic needs than the needs of the body. Man has a soul which must be fed by God. Man has a soul which can only be fed by God. And the amazing thing is that God, in his grace and his mercy, has the ability to feed both the body and the soul. Listen, Jesus continues in verse 26. He said, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Jesus said, don't worry, because God has you covered in his mercy. The birds of the air know this. The birds wake up every morning expecting to find food somewhere on God's earth. They don't store things up. Birds don't store things or hide them away. They just get up every morning knowing there's food somewhere on the earth for them, and they go seeking it. God's lower creatures should be like that. We should have that same mindset, knowing that God is going to provide for us, even though we don't know how we wake up every morning. Jesus said, don't worry, because God has you covered. And then Jesus asked a question, verse 27. Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? A real good reason to stop worrying is that our worrying does not change anything. Worrying doesn't help. Jesus makes this point clear with this question. Who can worry himself any taller than he is right now? And the answer, of course, is no one. You cannot worry a problem away. You cannot. You can pray it away, but you cannot worry a problem away. So Jesus says, stop worrying. And so Jesus asks us another question. Verse 28 says, so why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. The wild flowers grow more beautiful than the grandest king in Israel's history. And they don't worry, they just grow. They don't worry, they just grow. And so the Lord says in verse 30, now if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? If God can provide the resources to beautify and cover the fields and the wilderness, he'll provide the resources to provide for his own children. Jesus said that we must have faith. We must have faith that God is willing and able to provide everything that we need. Verse 31, he says, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? Jesus said, don't worry even about the necessities of life. And does it seem like the Lord is trying to get a message across to us? Does it seem like he's saying, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry? And why is he so adamantly telling us not to worry? Well, read on. Verse 32, he says, for after all these things, the Gentiles seek. The people who don't know God seek after all these things. The people who are not part of the family of God seek these things. And he says, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. We don't have to worry because God knows what we need. And that's a comforting thought, that God knows what I need. And that doesn't mean that we shouldn't come to God and ask him to meet our needs, but because he knows what we need, we can come confidently to the throne of grace and ask God for what we will. Because he loves us and he'll give us what we need. And I get happy about that. Because God knows what I need. Now, what I need is not always what I ask for. But God, in his infinite wisdom, always gives me what I need. It's not always what I ask for, but he always gives me what I need. We have no reason to worry because God knows what we need. Seeking the kingdom means that we must refuse to worry. And that's why Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Seeking the kingdom means that we must trust in God's wisdom. We must trust in God's wisdom. This is what Jesus says in verse 33, which is our anchor verse. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. In this one verse, Jesus revealed one of heaven's greatest secrets for a joyful life. Now, seeking God first. Seeking God first. Not just seeking his blessings, but seeking his righteousness. Seeking to do God's will is the secret to a happy life. But also many miss it. So many in this world, and a great number among the church, find themselves seeking happiness on the world's terms, seeking after the things that money can buy, and ignoring real treasure. Jesus says, seeking God brings a double blessing. You'll be blessed with the riches of the kingdom, and then God will add to you all the other things that you need. But you have to seek God first. So many seek God as a last resort. And how many blessings do we miss? How many blessings do we miss out on? By not seeking God first. By not seeking God first. If we trust God, we'll seek his wisdom in all that we do. Solomon wrote in Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Jesus concludes this passage with this advice. In verse 34, he says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. If we seek God's kingdom and if we seek God's righteousness, then we can stop worrying. We no longer have to worry about what tomorrow will bring. God has tomorrow in the palm of his hand. All we have to do is obey God's word today. God will take care of tomorrow. God will take care of tomorrow. Seeking the kingdom means that we must trust in God's wisdom. And that's why Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these other things. Everything else will be added to you. God knows what you need, and he'll add everything else that you need. Seeking the kingdom means that we must turn away from worldliness. Seeking the kingdom means that we must refuse to worry. It's so easy to worry, but we just have to set our hearts and mind that we're going to refuse to worry because we know that God can handle it. Seeking the kingdom means that we must trust in God's wisdom. The Lord Jesus himself exhorts us to seek the kingdom first. No message in the Bible is more important than that. Seeking God first, and you'll find comfort to overcome your loneliness. Seek God first, and you'll find strength to overcome your weaknesses. Seek God first, and you'll find health to overcome your sickness. Seek God first, and you'll find the peace to overcome the turmoil in your life. Seek God first, and you'll find joy to overcome your despair. Seek God first, and you'll find love to overcome the brokenness. Seek God first, and you'll find grace to overcome your sinfulness. Seeking God takes faith. Finding God is easy. Finding God is easy. For Jesus declared in Matthew 11:28, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Jesus is waiting to lead you to his Father. Jesus is waiting to lead you into the kingdom. All you have to do is come to him right now. The way to seek the kingdom of God is by turning your life over to Jesus Christ. Allow him to come into your heart and change you from the inside out. Allow Jesus to fix your eyes so you'll be able to see the world correctly. When Jesus has fixed you, you'll be able to receive the treasures of God. Come to Jesus and receive the kingdom of God. This time I'd like to ask the choir to come and sing for us as we offer the invitation to discipleship. In just a moment, we're going to have an altar call, but right now we offer the invitation to all who would like to join God's kingdom to come forth. As the congregation stands and as the choir sings, the invitation is given. God is waiting to receive you into his kingdom. And I'm sure of that because the Bible says in John 1:12 that as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name. So come now while the blood is running warm in your veins. Come as a candidate for baptism, or come by your Christian experience. Come with a letter. The important thing is that you come. In a moment, we're going to have an altar call for prayer, but right now, the invitation is given to those who want to join this fellowship by Christian experience or as a candidate for baptism. Will there be one? The doors of the church are open. Will there be one?